Hi, good morning, everybody. How are you? I've got a bit of a cold, so I'm going to try and make this quite a short talk, I think. As usual, don't forget, if you go to my site, stephenaskew.com, you can find the script for this talk and all my others, and you can find listening questions and sample answers and things like that. And if you want to hear more of these talks, please subscribe. Okay, today, we're going to talk about the moon. What is a moon? Well, a moon is basically any celestial body that orbits another celestial body. So in our solar system alone, we have 168 moons. Jupiter has 64, which is a lot. Earth, of course, only has one. Now, we say the moon when we refer to our moon. We say our moon when we refer to any of the other moons. Okay? Now, our moon, the moon, is 4.6 billion years old. About, give or take a day or two. It orbits our Earth in 27.3 days. It's not exactly a month. It's a little bit under a month. And it doesn't orbit in a complete circle. It has a slightly elliptical circle. That means it doesn't go completely around. It goes ever so slightly farther away and ever so slightly closer back towards us. It's approximately 385,000 kilometers away. As I say, it gets a little bit further away and a little bit closer. But on average, it's about 385,000 kilometers. It has variable temperatures. On one side, in the sun, it's 123 degrees centigrade. Pretty hot summer's day, ha 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 ha. On the other side, where it doesn't get any sun, it's minus 233 centigrade. That's a little bit cold. Now, the moon, of course, rotates in sync with our Earth. So as our Earth spins around, the moon spins around with us. Now, of course, we have phases of the moon. We have a new moon, which is a moon that's just become visible, to a full moon, and then no moon at all. Now, what causes these phases? Some people think it's caused by the shadow of the Earth falling between the sun and the moon. So you'd have the sun, the moon, the shadow of the Earth falls on the moon and means we can't see part of it. But that's not actually what happens. The sun shines on one side of the moon. Okay, let's say this side with the face. This is the sun. I don't have three hands. I'm going to have to put the sun down, I'm afraid. Just imagine the sun is over here. Okay, now this is the Earth. Now as the moon rotates around the Earth, it's like this, it doesn't turn. So the side with the sunlight is always pointing towards the sun. But as it goes round our Earth, from over here we can see the whole face of the moon because it's reflecting all of the sunlight. But as the moon goes round, it's still reflecting the same amount of sunlight, but the side we can see becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until when it's over here, we can't actually see the moon because the side that's reflecting the sunlight is between us and the sun. Okay? So rather than our shadow falling on the moon, it's just because the side that reflects the sunlight is away from us, so we can't actually see it. Now these are called the near side of the moon, the side we can see, and the far side of the moon, the side we can't see. This is sometimes called the dark side of the moon because, well, it's dark, of course. Okay, so how did the moon form? There are a number of theories about this, a number of theories. I'm going to take the most popular theory at the moment, which is that very early in its creation, the proto-Earth was still a ball of lava. It had a solidified core and a slightly solidified outer skin, but it was still pretty soft. Now, another planet about the size of Mars at that time sailed across and actually impacted our Earth. It hit our Earth. Now, of course, what happens when that happens? Both planets boom, completely squish themselves. They break up into pieces, and the second planet ejects a huge amount of debris into the atmosphere. Most of the planet combines with the Earth, and these roll together, and they form one planet, so the Earth became bigger. However, the debris that was ejected into the atmosphere, ejected into the stratosphere, that spins round, and over millions and millions of years, it slowly clumps together. And once it clumps together, it develops its own gravity, it starts spinning, and it attracts more and more pieces, and it basically goes round outside the Earth like a huge vacuum cleaner, sucking up all these pieces until gradually it spins and spins and spins and becomes the moon we know today. So it's collected all the pieces of this second planet. Now, without the moon, there is a very strong chance that I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. Why? Because I wouldn't have a topic. No, that's not true. Because the moon protects us. If you look at the surface of the moon, it's pockmarked. It's covered in holes and craters and crevices and mountains, and it's smashed to pieces. Why is that? That's because a large amount of meteors hit the moon. Now, if we didn't have a moon, these meteors would fly straight through and they would hit the Earth. So the moon spins around outside our Earth like a bodyguard, protecting us for all of these meteors that are coming in from the outer solar system. So without the moon, the Earth would probably have been hit quite often, and we might not be here. In fact, more than the moon, Jupiter is the biggest savior, the biggest bodyguard for us, but that's another topic. Okay, so because the moon spins around our Earth, we also have tides. High tide and low tide. Tide is when the sea level, the water level, the sea level, rises and falls. Then we have two tides a day. Why do we have two tides a day? Well, it's pretty easy to understand, I think. The moon has a gravity, of course. The Earth's gravity is stronger than the moon's gravity, but the moon does still have a gravity of its own. And the moon attracts the Earth towards it. Now, I know the Earth is hard. I mean, standing here, it's pretty hard. But it still has a movable surface. And as the moon moves around, it attracts part of the Earth, and it pulls the Earth up like this. So up here, you have a high tide because the water and the Earth is pulled towards the moon. Sorry. But of course, you have a tide on the other side as well, because as the Earth is pulled towards the moon, it becomes elliptical. It becomes almost like an egg shape. It stretches, and it stretches as it narrows in the middle. It stretches on poles, well, on the sides. And so you get tides at these sides. Okay? So as the moon goes round, it pulls, and the tides move around the Earth. So you get two tides a day. All right, so we have been to the moon. Well, I never have, of course, but so far 12 people have walked on the moon. The very first person to walk on the moon, of course, was Neil Armstrong, of course, July 21st, 1969. He flew up there on the Apollo 11. The Apollo 11 was, the 11th in a series of rockets, I suppose. And that mission, that actually cost $170 billion of today's money. Could you imagine Donald Trump or anybody allowing that much money to be spent on a program at the moment? Well, maybe we'll go to Mars one day, who knows? But I think if we do, it'll be the private sector. It won't be governments anymore. So $170 billion. Now, Neil Armstrong was the first man to step on the moon. As he stepped out of the lander, he said, of course, those famous words, a small step for man, a giant leap for mankind. Well, he says it much better than me. Hang on, I'll show you here.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, very, very famous words. And since him, 12 people have walked on the moon. And nobody has been back since the 1970s. Why? Well, because it's basically too expensive and people cannot see a reason to go there. But maybe one day we will have bases up there. Maybe we'll have hotels up there. But as I said, that would probably be the private sector that does that, private industry. I don't think governments have the ability to spend that much money on space exploration anymore when they have so many troubles, so many problems in their own countries. Education and health is obviously more important than space exploration to your average voter. Okay, so gravity on the moon is 17% of Earth. If you watch people walking on the moon, they bounce, they jump. Watch this one. You see how he's bouncing? You see how he's bouncing along here? That spacesuit he's wearing actually weighs 220 kilograms. 220 kilograms, but he's jumping along as though it's nothing. Gravity on the moon is 17% that of Earth. Now, Americans and Russians have all been to the moon. There are American flags there. There are Russian flags there. You can actually look up with you can look up with telescopes and you can see the stuff that's been left on the moon. Ah, the moon conspiracy landing. I'm not going to talk about that. It's not even worth thinking about. If you're interested, put something in the comments below and I'll talk about it at a later date, but it's just nonsense. So you can see the things that were still left on the moon. But who owns the moon? Well, in 1969, there was a treaty signed called the Outer Space Treaty, which basically says that no one country can own anybody in space. By body, I mean planet, of course, not body. So the moon doesn't belong to anybody. And as we explore the galaxy, as we explore the universe, the solar system, hopefully this treaty will be kept, and hopefully countries won't lay claim to different parts of the solar system. All right, so I've nearly finished. I'm getting a bit sick. The moon is moving away from the Earth at about the speed of 4 centimeters a year. Why is that? Well, because as it's spinning around, of course, basically what gravity does is this is falling away. But as it falls, it gets caught in the Earth's gravity and it slowly moves around. But of course, the moon is also being pulled by the sun's gravity, which is over here. I should use the yellow ball for the sun. The sun's gravity is also pulling the moon away. So the moon's rotation and the Earth's rotation are both gradually slowing down. I mean, if you think about it, if you put a spinning top on a desk and spin it, it slowly slows down. Why? Because of friction with the desk, because of air friction. Of course, in space, there is much reduced friction, but there isn't actually no friction. There are still atoms in a square meter of space. Obviously not as many as there are on Earth, but there are still some. And there's cosmic rays, and there are many things, there's dark matter, many things that can slow down a planet's rotation. So the Moon and the Earth are slowly the Moon and the Earth are slowly slowing down. So the Moon is slowly going to retreat from us. It will retreat until it reaches a point where it takes about 47 days for the Moon to go around the Earth. It'd be that far away. And of course, in the sky, it would be very, very small. I mean, you'd still be able to see it, but it would be a fraction of the size it is today. Now, of course, if the Moon slows down, the Earth's rotation is also going to slow down because they make each other spin faster. So if the Earth's rotation slows down, it's going to take the Earth about 47 days to make one rotation. So a day would be 47 days. You would have 23 days of light, 23 days of dark, approximately. I couldn't imagine that. But that's not really something we have to worry about, because that is billions of years into the future. And at that point, the sun will have gone become a red giant. That means the sun will have used up all of its natural fuel and expanded to the point where it's almost reaching the Earth. Now, another problem, of course, when the moon's orbit slows down, as it spins, it has centrifugal force. Once that stops, it's going to start getting attracted in towards the Earth. And its orbit right now, which is 385,000 kilometers, will slowly fall. And the moon will get closer and closer and closer until it gets to within 9,492 kilometers of the Earth. Why that number? Because that number is the Roche limit for the Earth. The Roche limit is the point where a celestial body gets torn apart because the second celestial body's tidal forces are much stronger than the smaller body's gravitational self-attraction. That means the moon has its own gravity, of course. If I stand on the moon, I get pulled down towards the moon. But the Earth also has another gravity, and the gravity from the Earth is pulling at the moon, of course. And right now, the moon's gravity itself is stronger than that attraction to the Earth. But once the moon gets within the Roche limit, the attraction from the Earth is going to be higher than the moon's gravity itself. And once that happens, the moon is going to get torn apart. And we're going to have a ring. The Earth will have a ring like Saturn. But not for very long, because at that point the sun will have expanded probably beyond the Earth. And we won't be here. We might be on another planet somewhere. We might be another civilization. Who knows? Anyway, that's a talk for another day. Well, thank you for listening. I'm sorry I've got a bit of a cold. If you have any ideas you'd like me to talk about, put them in the comments below. If you liked this, click the like button somewhere down there. If you want to subscribe, click the subscribe button somewhere over here. And I'll keep making these videos. Anyway, thanks for watching. Bye. See you next time.